Welcome to Random Gaming Talk. It's Entertainment Talk's podcast for video games. I'm your host, Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is Robert. How's it going?
It's going good. How's it going for you?
Going all right. The week's going quicker than I thought it would, but it is what it is. I still, by the way, do try to do the intro slightly differently every time, just so that I'm aware of which, just for my own tracking purposes. I know I've explained that before, so if it sounds like I'm trying to deliberately do it differently, it's probably because I am as well. So anyway, video games, what have you been playing?
Not a whole lot. I haven't had a whole lot of time since our last podcast. I've mostly been playing 7 Days to Die because that's, like I mentioned last week, it got the End of the Storm 2.0 update. And so mostly just getting a hold of the new mechanics, because when they do updates, it's not a little, oh, we changed this, oh, we changed that. It's basically a new version of the game every time they do a version update. So
nice. How's that going?
It's going good. I mean, it's one of those games, like I said, it's a 65-35 game. I can have my other monitor catching up on TV shows or whatever that I've been watching, and I can have the game on the other monitor, and then I can bounce my attention 65 to one, 35 to the other, and then swap that back and forth as needed.
Cool. Nice. I think we've kind of switched things around, because last week I think I hadn't played anything, and this week I've played a bunch and you haven't played as much, so I'm going to flip that around, I suppose. So this week I did two things I said I was going to do, which is I got hold of Mind's Eye. Again, some of you might be wondering why I bothered, but hey, there's a bunch of stuff out there that some people don't like that I do like, and vice versa, because as they say, it's all subjective. However, so thanks to the rental service that I do have, I'm able to rent games for as little or as long as I want, obviously as long as I'm still subscribed to the thing, because obviously if my subscription doesn't renew, I've got to send the games back. But I'm obviously keeping it right now. Played it for roughly an hour. It's not in a good state. It's not in a good state. If any of you have seen any compilation videos or any footage of the game just being rough or the combat being just really weird, that is the same thing that I experienced. I think there's an idea in there buried under a bunch of stuff. it's weird because this is supposed to be, well, not supposed to be, it is from former Rockstar devs, and if you didn't know that, you wouldn't have any idea that that was the case if you booted up the game. It does indeed do the weird thing that some of you might have seen, which is if you drive too far in the wrong direction away from your objective in a kind of open world, it's a weird structure that it's trying to do. It will tell you that you're failing your mission and then it will restart you. It's weird because you get opportunities to drive in the city, you drive out to a desert at one point, you drive to different buildings, but you must stay the course. Otherwise, yes, the game will say, hey, you're too far away, and it will, you know, restart you. Which, again, is a bit weird considering you're being put into a city, because, I mean, this falls in line with the same types of games as, you know, the sort of Cyberpunks, GTAs, Watch Dogs, Red Dead. You know, those sort of games where it's like, hey, you have a map, you have a city. It's not like a Zelda. I don't mean that sort of game. Zelda, you don't really have a city to explore necessarily. But these games where you're put into a big city to explore, full of people, full of, you know, vehicles and guns and characters and that kind of thing. And it's the only one I can really think of that does have, again, it doesn't have an open world because you can't access an open world, but one that looks like it sort of should, but tells you to keep going from A to B to A to B. I don't know if that changes later on. I haven't heard that it does. But yeah, it's weird. It's like one of the few games I can even think of that does that in that way. But no, I don't even think this was a case of, oh, it needed another year in the oven, or this needed like another 3 to 5 years, honestly. Where I stopped, by the way, so for those of you that are aware of the game or might have played it or got further than me, there is this is these flashback missions that you do because you play as this guy who used to be like an army veteran, but for this like more tech modern day army thing, hence all the sort of tech stuff. And you run around in that area, you shoot a bunch of explosives, a bunch of very, very poorly developed AI enemies, some of which I just ran round and they just didn't seem to know I was there. Did that, and then cutscenes were like 3, 4 out of 10 in terms of quality. And I don't know if you get a sort of like skill tree or something like that. Like, you know how in sort of Cyberpunk or Watch Dogs, for example, it's like you have an RPG system and you slowly unlock, you can now hack this, you can now do this with this. Or in Cyberpunk, it's like, okay, now you have the gorilla arms or the blade arms, and now you can slow down time or reload quicker. I don't think the game has any of those. At least I don't think I came across them. So yeah, look, I tried it. It was a game I was curious about when it first got the announcement trailer. So what can I do other than give it a small try? But I soon realized what I was playing and then decided to not go any further. So I've sent that back and somebody else can have that copy if it's on anybody's list. So what have you heard about this game?
I've just seen the compilations of how bad the graphics
They're pretty
are.
bad.
And based on the game's description of the gameplay style, I knew it wasn't a game I was going to be interested in playing anyway, so.
It's got one of the, you know, because I'm very particular about gunplay, more so with first person than third person games. It's got one of the weirdest, not specifically bad, although it is bad, but one of the weirdest feeling third person shooter gunplay mechanics. Like, it's really like too stiff. I could almost aim too well, but then miss at some point. Very strange. Just a strange experience, but hey, at least I experienced it, I suppose. So swiftly moving on to that, on from that to a game I'm enjoying much more. I did do what I said I was going to do as well, is sign up for Game Pass because there's no physical version of this game yet. And you handily reminded me last week. I can't remember how it came up, but you reminded me about South of Midnight, which is a game I was looking forward to, but then disappeared a bit. Then it did actually come out. It didn't get much attention, which is probably why I forgot about it. You brought it up for some reason last week that I can't remember. So I signed up to Game Pass and I'm now playing South of Midnight. I think there's 14 chapters. I'm on to chapter, I think just before I turned it off, I started chapter 9. So I'm a good chunk of the way through. So a big kind of question for me, is this my person, and this is a very particular thing, is this my personal spiritual successor to Forspoken? And the reason I bring that up is I remember when we first saw the game and it just had a lot of similarities to Forspoken. It's not quite that, but and that's okay, but it kind of fills that gap a little bit, but not in the specific way that I thought it was going to. I'm enjoying it quite a lot. I do recognize that it's got not really shortcomings, but kind of, and there's very few games I can think of that have done this. You are doing the same thing over and over again, but it makes sense as to why you're doing that. And I'm not going to explain that because it is kind of spoilery, but not really. So yeah, you're doing the same thing over and over again, but then I'm still noticing things like some new enemy types, which I had in my last like encounter. The story's starting to really pick up on its threads. I liked the story early on, but it felt kind of not simple, but it was sort of like, you know, laying its sort of early seeds. Some of those are starting to get better and better, so I'm enjoying the story more. It's starting to have a little bit more of a emotional weight to it. There's a lot of emotional stuff going on in the story. Like, it's not, don't get me wrong, it's no Last of Us 1 and 2 in terms of, you know, tragedy and death, and although there is death in this game, it's not quite that level of tragic, but obviously Last of Us has got its hopeful angle to it. But it, because it tells its story in like three different ways, you'll get these kind of, you know how games do like an echo of the past kind of thing. Like, you'll walk up to a white glowing thing and it will show you like echoes of a story from a past. And this isn't specific to oh, in the exact spot you're standing in, this exact thing happened. It's just, here's kind of what happened in this area, sort of. Although it will show you like specifics of what happened. So it does a certain version of that, and I think it is pretty good at doing that. It then has its actual cutscenes, which it's got kind of the, is it the stop motion sort of thing, which I'm still getting used to, because at some points I'm still like, is the game stuttering slightly, or is it just doing its, I think it's just doing its thing. I don't think the game's actually stuttering. But I'm just not used to that kind of style, so I guess that's why it's throwing me off slightly. It does well with that. That's sort of flowing quite well. Cutscenes are really quite well animated as well. The character models look pretty good, and all that kind of stuff. They do have a kind of like a real feel to them, so that's pretty good. It does do this other storytelling, and I'm not like, I don't dislike it, but it's my least favorite of the three, which is where it's doing this like book narration kind of thing. And it's like flipping the pages and stuff. Now I've played Moss 1 and 2, which do the same thing, but in its own kind of way. It's a similar to that, but I would prefer you do it a different way. But I'm not, you know, I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's badly done, and I'm not, you know, mad at it or whatever. But I'm slowly sort of getting used to that. So, the gameplay's quite good. It's a tad stiff at times, but I'm still, I know this is a weird thing to say because I'm 9 chapters out of 14 in. I'm not quite sure if I'm completely playing it properly. And I think that's just on me, because the game has explained to me very clearly plenty of times, like, this is how you do this and that, and this is how this and that works. It's also one where I feel like I'm forgetting some of my, not the abilities on screen, because you have your classic, you know, RB, RT, LT, LB, so like the top four buttons are particular commands. It's not that I'm getting lost on, it's just I'm forgetting certain things I unlock. So I think that's more just on me and how I may be moving around. But when the combat does flow well and I'm doing really well, it feels really, really good. But I just get a bit, a tad stuck in that. Although I haven't died yet, and I'm on the middle, I think there's 5 difficulties, and I'm on the middle one, which is like moderate or something. So that's going pretty well. I've been challenged, I've almost died a couple of times in like some boss fights and stuff. The boss fights, they got a good flow to them as well. I quite like those, and I've liked the sort of story reasons that those have been in there. Those have been very good. There's one particular character called Laurent, I think his name is. His story is really, really quite something, and I really enjoyed that. So that's been quite good. I like the traversal a lot. You start to unlock more kind of like gliding stuff and the jumping and things like that. So that's been very good. So overall, I'm really enjoying it so far. I'll probably finish it in the next, I don't know if it'll be by the next podcast or whatever. I like this other part of it as well, which is it's very, very linear. Although you can have a good look around, the environments are really, really nice as well. So, because as often as I say that I don't really care or appreciate graphics, I can still notice when they're very, very good, and the graphics here are very, very good. Again, it's got the kind of stylized thing to it, so I can see what they're trying to do with that. But it's got this kind of, because you can click it, and it's got some really good accessibility options, by the way, especially for like navigation. Because I went through and I like switched on a bunch of them, so that's been quite good. You click in the right stick, and it will give you like a proper, I think they're actually called weaves because of what the game is, and you just simply follow that if you want to do the main path. There's other little bits that you can kind of like navigate as well and find these little points to get upgrades and stuff. And now and again, I kind of notice when I'm like, hey, I'll pop over there for, you know, 30 seconds, grab that, come back. So that's got a good flow to it as well. So yeah, I'm really quite enjoying it so far. It's about as good as I thought it was going to be in terms of like my expectations and things like that. Granted, I've not finished it yet, so we'll see how that continues. But no, very, very good so far. What do you know about South of Midnight?
Not a whole lot. I remember being confused by the stuttering animation during cutscenes, like it was dropping frames. It is a claymation style, I guess that would be the easiest way to describe it, for the art style, and it's very Wallace and Gromit in its appearance. And outside of that, I just remember it falling hard on its face. I mean, it was like didn't even make 1500 concurrent on Steam opening weekend, which, granted, it's a Game Pass game, and it's a platformer style, but you can't use Game Pass as an excuse anymore because of Oblivion Remaster and Expedition 33. Both of those were day one Game Pass games, and they crushed sales and they crushed Steam. So if the game is interesting enough for enough people, it will show up high on Steam. And like I've always said, I know that's not a metric for sales, but until they actually start giving us actual hard numbers of sales, that's the only thing I have to go by.
It is one of a few projects this year, or well, not projects, pieces of media, whatever you want to call them, that have been quite good, but have just really gone under the radar. Like Elio is another example that I mentioned, and again, because I mentioned it in my review of Elio, I spoke to like eight different friends, and they didn't say, "Oh, I'm not sure what that is." They hadn't heard of the film, like they didn't know it existed. Now, if you have people out there who don't know that your thing exists for whatever reason, it could be bad marketing, no marketing, whatever, then people aren't going to obviously consume a product that they have no idea exists. But even for me, like when they first showed this game, I was like, "Oh, this looks quite cool," and I sort of took an interest to it. And it was only until Bube said whatever it was last week, I was like, "Oh yeah, that game's out," and it's been out for a couple of months, right? So I don't know. This happens to certain things sometimes. They just, for whatever marketing reason or whatever it is, because I wasn't seeing a lot of discussion on the game either at the time, but whether it was good or bad or middle, just like none at all. And I think that's almost worse, like, because sometimes if a product comes out and loads of people are sort of, not liking it, that can have kind of the car crash effect where it's sort of, "Oh, I've got to check this out to see how bad it is." But if people don't even know a thing is out, then you don't even have that to go off if you have nothing. So, not sure what it was, but it didn't seem to catch too many eyes, which is a bit of a shame because it's very good. So, there we go. All right, that's what I've been playing this week. What do we do next? Yes, housekeeping. That's what's next, isn't it? So let's move on to that and tell you what we've been doing recently on Entertainment Talk. We'll see you for that in a minute. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talk's podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for two episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch two episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. All right, as is the case with Wednesdays at the moment, there is a new, or a refreshed, as we might call it, Breaking Bad podcast. This is up to season 3, episode 8. Just a reminder once again, these are rolling out weekly on Wednesdays. These are the original season 3 podcasts, of which they stopped working for reasons I've explained in the past. How it's going to work is these are going to continue to come out on Wednesdays, as I have been for the last 8 weeks, up to episode 13, because there's 13 episodes. Then once that finishes in around August, I think me and David are going to do the Walking Dead Dead City Season 2 review, once we actually both start watching that, because I haven't started it yet. And then do that, and then probably move on to Breaking Bad Season 4. So that's kind of the plan for that. So that's the next coverage pieces of that. Speaking of other media, I suppose, and film reviews, I did a Don't Skip review for Jurassic World Rebirth. I had very low expectations going into that film because I did not like Dominion at all, which isn't entirely fair because Dominion and this are not really related as part of a new trilogy. So thankfully liked it more than I thought I was going to. There's other things going on in that film as well, but I gave it, landed on a Don't Skip review, and apparently it's doing really, really well at the box office, so looks like we'll probably get the whole trilogy, but we'll at least get the next sequel. A piece that I broke up from last week's gaming talk for The World of The Last of Us, talking about Neil Druckmann and Hallie Gross exiting The Last of Us TV show in terms of writing duties. Again, I'm sure they'll be having conversations and overseeing certain stuff, but not doing writing duties for Season 3. Of course, Season 1 and 2 have both come and gone. But we talked about that last week in Gaming Talk. Thought it was a bit too big of a topic to just kind of leave it there. So I broke that out into a separate podcast, which you can find on those feeds. Also, another TV season review for something that did have more promotion than both Elio and South of Midnight, but still not a ton, and it's come and gone already. This is Ironheart Season 1. I gave it a must-see review, so not a strong must-see, just a must-see, but it was a bit of a lower rating of the must-see ranking for Ironheart, which was, yeah, pretty good. It had its faults, most of which could be fixed in the editing room by cutting some stuff out, but I ended up quite enjoying it. So that is Ironheart for Season 1. There's some big stuff set up for that character. I don't know if that's going to come up in another film, another show, a second season, but we'll see where we see that character next, which will be in probably about 3 to 5 years. Anyway, as for Ironheart, over on Gaming Talk last week, we talked about some big Naughty Dog news, including the one that we just mentioned. Talked about some GTA stuff. We had a rumoured list of things that might and might not be in the game. And of course, we talked about Xbox, because a few people lost their jobs, unfortunately. So that's that. Over on some other film reviews, a strong must-see review for 28 Years Later. This is again from Danny Boyle and Alex Garland, returning to the 28 franchise, if that's what it's called, and there will be a sequel to that in 6 months. I think it's already been shot. Speaking of films coming out soon as well, Fantastic Four First Steps, I've done my preview podcast for that. That's in, I think it's 2 weeks' time, or 3 weeks' time, something like that. So that's that. Speaking of Elio, I gave that a strong must-see rating review. Again, another great one from Pixar, so thoroughly enjoyed that. Did do a July 2025 chat podcast. This one was just focusing on my mental health update, so you can listen to that as well if you want to. And that's what we've been doing. Speaking of, so mention it here as well, because Superman has come out, and there is a preview podcast for Superman as well. That comes out this weekend, although some people have seen it already and whatnot, and it's out this week basically, but I will be getting to it at the weekend for James Gunn's Superman, and we'll see what I think of that when I see that. Anyway, that's what we'll be doing recently on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. Let's move in some news.
I did a quick search while you were doing that. Jurassic World, fairly even split, 150 U.S. domestic, 174 worldwide, about 350, just short of total.
350 already? Wow, that's, yeah. Although, I think they started counting that from a Wednesday, so they did the cheeky thing of, hey, this is our box office weekend, which we start counting from Wednesday. It's like, that's the middle of the week. That's not your weekend box office.
Technically, technically, Superman came out yesterday here in the States.
Yeah, I think so. All right, yep, that's all the stuff recent on Entertainment Talk, and let's move in some news. All right, let's move on to some Naughty Dog news. We have a couple of different stories here. The big one, the main one being, and this is from the PlayStation blog itself, The Last of Us Part 2, which I've played once or twice, is getting a sorry, the remastered version is getting a chronological experience, and it's out right now. Well, it was out yesterday, but it's out right now still. So, this comes to us from the PlayStation blog, and it says the following. Oh, this is from Jonathan Dornbush. He used to work at IGN. He's a very nice guy. Anyway, says the free update lets players experience Ellie and Abby's story chronologically and also includes unlockable skins and trophies. Says it's been such a thrilling time for us here at Naughty Dog, especially as we've welcomed so many old and new fans of The Last of Us into the franchise. To celebrate all of your support, we have a surprise in the form of a free update hitting The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered today. Available for players as part of a downloadable update today, we've introduced a new way to play the story of The Last of Us Part 2 like never before, chronologically. Those who have already played will know it's a story. Know its story is told non-linearly, as Ellie and Abby's motivations, realizations, and emotional stakes unfold across myriad of flashbacks, present-day storylines. While this structure is very intentional and core to how our studio wanted Part 2's themes and narrative beats to impact the players, we always wondered what it would be like to experience this story chronologically, and now, finally, we can answer that question. Through the new chronological mode, we believe players will gain even deeper insight into Part 2's narrative. Players will be able to see how Ellie, being gifted a guitar, flow so neatly into her leaning, sorry, learning to play. For example, while the journey through Seattle will showcase the fascinating parallels between Ellie and Abby's crossing journeys, you'll see just how close they came to actually running into each other, how their actions impacted each other, and more. So, it was no small feat to bring The Last of Us Part 2 story chronologically together. Given that Part 2's story is so meticulously put together, we're grateful to the developers, both at Naughty Dog and our partners at Nixxes, I think it says, to make the chronological mode as smooth as possible. And while we, of course, recommend players still new to the game play through Part 2's story as was originally developed, the team's hard work has paid off with a fascinating new way to enjoy this chapter. Here's where things get a little bit odd. And we also wanted to reward players for jumping into this new transformative approach to our story, in addition to new trophies tied to completing the narrative experience in chronological order. Doing so will also unlock two new, perhaps surprisingly familiar, skins. Yes, that's right. Play as Joel, dressed as Nathan Drake, and Tommy, as Sam Drake in No Return. So that's the, like, not horde mode, that's the sort of survival mode that they added into Part 2 Remastered. Particularly as we celebrate Naughty Dog's 40th anniversary this year, we love getting the chance to spotlight and share this history of our studio that we love as much as we know you do. These skins will be unlocked for completing the narrative in chronological and will be usable in No Return, Part 2's Remastered's thrilling roguelike survival mode. There's a new update for Last of Us Part 2 Remastered available today, both on PS5 and PC via Steam and the Epic Games Store, bringing the chronological mode as well as an additional bug fixes and performance improvements and so on and so forth. Then it says a bunch of stuff, but it still does say account for PlayStation Network and internet connection required, and internet connection is also required. So yes, you still have to have the PSN thing for PC, which a lot of people have understandably got a bit annoyed at, but it is what it is at this point. Very interesting. So, and no, I haven't tried this out yet, because I've been playing South of Midnight, as I mentioned. I will, of course, get to this because, well, did you think I wasn't going to? Yeah, it's just something that's something I never thought about or considered. Don't get me wrong, I thought about, like, obviously the story from, you know, up, down, left, right, diagonally, and whatever else story wise. But, and I know how the story goes chronologically, I've just never thought of, because, you know, spent a lot of time thinking about this game. But I've never actually thought of, like, okay, what would it be like to have this story told chronologically? because the intention was always very, you know, flashback here, this bit goes here, you switch at this point, and whatever else. Yeah, I have no idea. I'm sure it will still be great. I don't think, now that, not that I'm expecting this to be, I don't think this will be as good as playing part two in the sort of normal way, but I don't think it's supposed to be. I think this is literally just kind of, here's something fun we thought of, it's free, and all we have to kind of do is just, you know, switch the chapters around and put that into a playable mode, because clearly, if you look at part two's story, it was never supposed to be told chronologically, hence all the flashbacks and things. Now, in season two, things are moved around a little bit, but the story's not told chronologically in season two. It's just for editing and episode purposes, they moved certain stuff around. I'll obviously play it, have my thoughts on it, and do some kind of coverage for it when I do, but that will be... Because I saw this and I was like, okay, what do you open with? Because you do play as both Abby and Ellie, and obviously you'd start with both of their flashbacks, because both of them do have flashbacks when they're younger. We know from you know, episode 6 that there's the whole birthday chapter with Joel and Ellie. I imagine those will be the first bits you play as with Ellie, and there's the flashback bit for Abby. So I imagine you start with those, and then the interesting part is, so once you've probably gone through all the flashbacks, which would be all there first, and then you do day one, day two, day three for each of them, but you wouldn't day one, you wouldn't do 1, 2, 3 then switch over, then 1, 2, 3. You would probably do 1, then 1, then 2, then 2, then 3, then 3. But even then, I don't know if and people would have the answer to this, because people have already tried this, how often you switch over in the day 1, 2, 3, or is it just you play out those days and then you switch over? But I'd be very curious to see how this kind of flows, because again, I don't think it will be terrible or bad, don't get me wrong. And yes, obviously for new players, you should not play this, you know, chronologically, because that's not how it's intended at all. But yeah, it'd be very interesting to see how that kind of like flows, I suppose. But then I think for people, you know, like myself, who know the story very intimately, I don't think the flow of the story will be bothersome at all, because we know how it's supposed to flow. It's just a case of you experience the events in different orders. So yeah, I can't really give much more of an opinion on it until I actually try it and see like where things pop up and all that kind of stuff. Because there's like a good chunk of flashbacks as well. Like, it's going to be a minute until you do the day one stuff, but we shall see. So they do have a photo here of Tommy in Sam's outfit, and then Joel in Nathan Drake's outfit. Now, it's a fun idea, and obviously it's Naughty Dog crossing over, you know, Uncharted and Last of Us. It's probably the oddest thing that Last of Us has ever done. And again, it's just for fun. It's not, you know, that's not what they're going to look like in the next, you know, parts of the story or whatever. And it's a fun, you know, skin thing for No Return, which doesn't have, you know, canon or anything like that. That's just an odd thing to have happen. Because I even think, you know, Jade from Intergalactic, how she's got that, is it pink jacket? And you can use that, you can have Ellie wear that in No Return. I've tried that as well. That still looks kind of odd. But then all three of those costumes, so Jade's jacket, Nathan Drake's outfits, and Sam Drake's outfits, weren't supposed to quote unquote be worn by other characters. So again, it's just fun and stuff. It just, I don't know if some of that stuff looks right, but anyway. Yeah, what do you think of this chronological mode update being added?
I think it's an interesting aspect for people that might be like half interested in the game but haven't really played it yet. So it's definitely for the more novice approach to it. So somebody like yourself who's played it, you know, on their 39th playthrough, it's not going to be a whole lot of difference. But, you know, if somebody like myself who finished one, didn't do any of the DLC for one, hasn't touched two, if this was something I was interested in, you know, if I was interested in actually getting real interested into the story, then this would be an option for me. But the story for one just never really captured me enough to really want to go back to it. Nothing against the game itself. I found it functionally fine. Playthrough was fine. Story was fine. Just didn't engage with it.
That's totally fine. Not everything clicks for everybody. So, just to note, by the way, and I like to be transparent about certain stuff, not that this is the biggest deal in the world. For those of you that looked at the featured image of this podcast, it is the same one that they, almost the same one that they put out. It's got a bunch of like pictures of characters side by side in different scenes, and then it says chronological. If you'll notice on the image that I've used, or is, well, it's the same one on the version I've put up, I have blacked out the middle screenshot. Now, if you're somebody who hasn't experienced what that part is of the story, you might not know what it is anyway, but I consider that a spoiler. So, and it's something that hasn't come up in the show yet either. So, even if you're a non-game player for this, but you've watched the show, you haven't come across that yet because it's not come up in the show. So, I consider that a spoiler. So, I blacked that bit out. But if you, I mean, if you Google it anyway, and or you read this blog post, it would be there. But even if you looked at that and didn't know what it was, I don't think you'd know what it is and what it means and all that kind of stuff. But I considered it a spoiler, so I blacked it out. So anyway, just thought I'd mention it, just in case some of you look at it and think like, has that not loaded properly, or I don't know, something like that. So yeah, that'll be very, very. I don't know when I'm going to. Obviously, I'm going to do this at some point because, again, do you think that I'm not going to? And then probably a podcast following on because there's still other ones I want to make for Last of Us anyway. But I don't really want to kind of like, put Stuff of Midnight back on the shelf and then go back to this and then go back to, all that kind of thing. So, plus we've got a slew of new games for the year which are coming out and available, and I need to play through those. So I might even save this for when I'm done with those, or I know it's still a bit far away, but maybe some like Christmas thing or something. So we'll see. That's up to me to decide anyway. So yeah, the skins are what they are. Again, they're fun. I think they're a bit odd, but they are. What do you think of the skins, by the way, being them being dressed up as Uncharted characters?
It's just weird.
Yeah, it's a bit strange. Anyway, that is, we do have a couple of Naughty Dog stories. Let me go on to my next one here, and this is one I can engage an opinion from you also as well with. So you said that you finished Expedition 33, which is very good, and
This. I said, yeah, the story. I haven't gone into New Game Plus yet, but yeah.
Which you mentioned last week. Well, Neil Druckmann apparently likes it as well. So it says, yet more praise. This is from Push Square. It says, yet more praise for Claire Obscure Expedition 33. Why was that so difficult for me to say? As a Naughty Dog boss and The Last of Us writer director, Neil Druckmann says he was left in awe after beating the RPG. I didn't click on it. Maybe I should have to get more information than just he's in awe. Although everybody else kind of seems to be, you gave it praise, a bunch of people have given it praise, so no surprise. I'm going to close the window in a sec. But yeah, what do you think of Neil Druckmann also being in the list of enjoying Expedition 33?
I mean, it's not really that much of a shock. It's a game that everybody can enjoy. There's no must you must like this or else around with it. But actually, I was watching some clips, and a streamer came up, and he was talking about this, and it made a really interesting point. He said, "This game and all the AAA games that we've gotten in the last couple of years, the reason why they're so good," he's like, "I want you to find your favorite band that's been around forever." So, Metallica, bands like that. It doesn't have to be metal, but a band that's just been around forever. And then go back and find concerts of them live when they first started doing live concerts after they got real big. So they've blown up, they got their first gold album, and now they're doing concerts, for them. And just watch the energy difference between then and now. And it's just the beginning, they just have so much energy and so much passion. And then you go back to now, where they've been singing the same five songs for 20 damn years, and some of them keep the energy up, and some of them just phone it in. And that's kind of the gaming state that we're at today. The double A's, they're getting their first concert. Not necessarily with the development team that did Split Fiction, because that's like their fourth game, I think. But they've kept the same format of all four games of being, two-player co-op. Doesn't necessarily need to be couch co-op, but two-player co-op. And they just get better at their craft, better at their storytelling, better with the graphics. And then you get Split Fiction, which is an amazing game. But then you get somebody like EA or Ubisoft or somebody like that that's just like, okay, what slop are we cranking out this year? That, okay, send it out. It's broken. Fuck it. Who cares?
Very, I was gonna say very low quality control, sometimes no quality control. So
Yeah.
yeah. But yeah, Neil Druckmann likes it as well. So that's very cool. Who knows, maybe he'll take something from that, use it for inspiration for maybe not necessarily Intergalactic, but his next thing. And because I like when that happens as well. I like when kind of creators get inspired by like other people and not copy or steal their ideas, but kind of use like kind of some ideas from stuff like that. So that's very good. Sticking on, I know there's a lot of Last of Us stuff here one more time, but this is also spinning off into something else. It says here, this is from Push Square. It says a director of The Last of Us axed PS5 multiplayer to start new studio in Japan. So it says here, the wounds from The Last of Us's online cancellation still cut deep, but we suppose we're all going to have to move on eventually. Says here, Vinit Agrawal, that's the best I can give for that, who was the director of the highly anticipated standalone multiplayer spin-off, has announced he's moving to Japan to start a new studio. His time at Naughty Dog also included game designer roles on Uncharted 4, Thief's End, and Uncharted: The Lost Legacy, which both games I really, really like a lot. Then says from a tweet he actually posted here, says couple of life updates, moving to Japan tomorrow, also forming a new game studio. More on that soon. So a couple of big life changes there for him. Says moving to Japan tomorrow, he wrote, also forming a new game studio. More on that soon. Agrawal announced in January that he intended to leave Naughty Dog following the cancellation of The Last of Us Online in 2023. It was 2 years ago. The game had been in development for several years, and was allegedly excellent. But the development decided it didn't want to become. Sorry, the developer decided it didn't want to become a live service games studio and would have to commit significant resources to supporting it. Says that hasn't dissuaded him from continuing to make multiplayer games. However, in a prior conversation on Twitter, he said he plans to stick with online games because that's what he's passionate about. Says in reality, it'll probably take several years for the ex Naughty Dog employee to set up his new studio, iterate on ideas, and settle on a direction. As such, we wouldn't expect to have anything from him for quite some time. However, after pouring his heart and soul into The Last of Us Online for so many years, we certainly wish him the best. As do I, and as should all of us. Again, these things happen. There was a couple of reasons that that game didn't come to fruition. I think some of it you can blame on Bungie. I know people love to kind of look at anything that Naughty Dog does that's not good and just blame Neil Druckmann and pretend that he's like the only person that works at the entire studio, which isn't true. But I know that that's unfortunately a popular thing to do. But yeah, it turns out Neil didn't actually direct this. It was this other guy who's doing this new studio. So yeah, best of luck to him. I'm sure he's got talent and whatever else. And we'll see what he comes up with. But yeah, quite a big kind of, I guess people do these kind of things. Like an opportunity doesn't work out for whatever particular reason. And we don't know if, let's say, after that game had been cancelled, which again was about 2 years ago, if there was like, hey, you can work on this next or this next, because as we can pretty much be sure about, the Intergalactic isn't the only game that Naughty Dog has in development right now. There was the rumor about the director of Lost Legacy, whose name isn't coming to mind, is maybe directing another game. What could that be? And then there's rumors of like a third game being in development. So maybe they said to him, you can move on to one of these two or one of these three or whatever, because we don't know what happened there necessarily. But sometimes projects don't happen and people move on to do different things. It happens in a lot of different situations. So, I still just kind of wonder. Again, there are old wounds to pick at, which isn't always a good idea, but we're talking about it here. If Bungie had said something else, or given Naughty Dog a more positive response, who would have ended up working on it? I still think what should have happened is Naughty Dog creates the basis for the game, like the core idea, and then hands it off to and oversees it from somebody else. So rather than like, oh, Naughty Dog's got to do season one, season two, season three of this game, like, the seasonal content that it would have had. Rather than Naughty Dog being just stuck on that for years and not doing any other, single player offline games, if they handed it to somebody else, maybe a Bungie, although Bungie hasn't itself been in a great state as of recently, but they could have handed it off to, somebody else. I'm sure somebody else could have done it. But then had like a few staff work on Naughty Dog games, but then kind of, oversee it and keep an eye on it just to make sure it's kind of matching their vision while still having Naughty Dog employees work on their own games. I think that I don't know how easy that would have been to have done, and we don't know what those discussions would have been like, but that felt like the more logical thing for me for them to do rather than just cancel it. But it kind of sounded like from that Bungie conversation that maybe they didn't want to do it, or I don't know, they're obviously in the middle of Destiny stuff, and is it called Marathon as well, that other game that they're doing? They're like in the middle of that, so maybe Bungie wouldn't have even been the best one to do it.
Yeah,
But
but that game's been delayed forever.
so, but then, it's kind of okay, Bungie's got a lot more experience with doing live service games than Naughty Dog has, so it would make more sense in that space. Or you could have done it to where, like, again, Naughty Dog oversees, Bungie co-develops on it alongside like another person. But it is what it is, and we've known the game's been gone for a while. But anyway, what do you think of this guy kind of upping and moving to Japan and starting his new game studio?
Well, sometimes that's what you gotta do.
So anyway, like it says here, we probably won't see what he's doing for a few years because he's got to get all set up and everything else first. All right, let's move off of Naughty Dog. And on to something totally different. Where is my image for this? There it is. Oh, there's the other thing, Stalker 2 as well. Stalker 2 is coming to, says here, Stalker 2 is coming to PlayStation 5 in late 2025 with PS5 Pro enhancements and DualSense support. I remember when this game was in like a bunch of different Xbox showcases and all that kind of stuff, and looked kind of intriguing. I think Chernobyl's obviously a very interesting place and all that sort of stuff. I never did play the first Stalker, but this one looked kind of intriguing. Again, that was another one that it went quiet for a long time. It did come out, it did get a lot of eyes on it and a lot of opinions on it. Unfortunately, all of those opinions were kind of okay, good game with a good idea, but it was in like a very poor technical state from what I understood. But I never did kind of like sample it or whatever. I think it was on Game Pass or something at the time. But a better version of it, a more proper version of it, is coming to PlayStation 5 late this year, and it will also have DualSense support, which I'm gonna assume when you say something like DualSense support, you mean, the adaptive triggers and haptic feedback, which could be quite good for something like that, I think. So I'm curious to that's probably where I'll be playing it. I won't be playing on an Xbox. I did see it, I think, on Game Pass when I browsed it a little bit. But I'll wait for this version to come out and see if that's any good. I don't remember you saying you ever played it. What do you know about Stalker 2?
Well, it's a first-person shooter, so obviously it's not my first go-to game. I know they definitely have. Yeah, I'm sorry, my phone's been popping off. Got a lot of weird stuff going on with my account settings on my phone, so if you hear noises, just ignore it.
No worries.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Metro in that it's intentionally limited ammo. It's not like, go 5 feet, pick up a whole clip, go 5 more feet, pick up a whole clip, things like that. And from what I heard, it's really good gameplay wise. I think it popped off like 1 million sales opening weekend, despite it being a Game Pass game. Wouldn't call it a double A game. It's definitely triple A,
Oh yeah.
but
Yeah. But I'm curious to try it when it comes out, so I thought I'd mention that as well. And then my last story is Cyberpunk Edgerunners Season 2 is now in production. It says here from the Cyberpunk account, it presents a new standalone 10-episode story from the world of Cyberpunk 2077, a raw chronicle of redemption and revenge. It says when the world is blinded by spectacle, what extremes do you have to go to make your story matter? And then there's some artwork there. Yeah, there's a little teaser trailer up on, I think it's either CD Projekt Red or probably Netflix's account as well. A little teaser trailer confirming that, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen the first season, and I highly recommend it. I don't think I reviewed the first season, but it's really, really, really good. And it's another one that, like, if you wanted to still experience stories in the world of Cyberpunk, but if like the gameplay wasn't for you or something, this is something very much worth watching. So I'd recommend that. It is a, singular told story. They've made that very clear in this as well, that this is not a sequel season. The events that happen in the first season are very much, permanent. They make that very clear, and they're going to tell us more stories in the world of Cyberpunk, which I think is very cool. It's been quite nice, the kind of, not quiet development, but the sort of, like, it launched in a bad state, it was anticipated for years, and then slowly but surely they just added to the game, fixed the game, added to the game, fixed the game, put out loads and loads and loads of updates, then came out with, like, the sort of 2.0 update version, like the big update. Then they put out what was the DLC called? Whatever the big DLC story was called, they put that out. That was pretty good. That was the Idris Elba thing that they had come out. That was really, really good. Then they still kept updating the game. The only thing that they charged for was the DLC itself, but that made sense. Although you could buy, like, a definitive version or whatever, which eventually became cheaper. They made a show from it as well, from the world, not from the Cyberpunk story. And then just kept adding to it. Even to the point where they did actually add the train carts back in the game, which was something that even they said that they weren't sure they were going to do. Because again, that's probably very difficult to do. So, yeah, this world is very cool to be in and to watch stories play out from. So I'm very, very curious to see what they do with season two. I don't. Did you? What's your? I guess what's your Cyberpunk history? I'm not sure what you've watched or played. So.
I saw a little bit of the anime on Netflix when I still had Netflix. Like I mentioned a long time ago, when the game launched officially, they still had the same
The Jackie
clipping
Locker thing.
issues. Yeah, the
I
same
think it was
clipping
that.
issues walking through objects that they had when they launched it the first time. And so I gave it a try on the first launch. And I gave it a try on the reboot, and both times it just disappointed me, so I haven't played it since.
Yeah. No, I remember you. I kind of remember you mentioning that that happened, and then you just, like, didn't feel great about that. So
Yeah.
I would, again, I can't tell you what to do, but I'd recommend you give it another try. I know that might kind of sound a bit exhausting, but it's once you get into what the game is, like, offering, which is a lot now because there's been a shitload of updates. There's some really, really cool stuff going on in there. So yeah, we'll see what they come out with for this 10-episode season. Probably not this year, so we'll have to see. All right, that's all my news for this week. How about you? What would you like to talk about?
We got a few things going on here. First off, Nintendo had a conference call, an event for investors the other day, and what's his official title here? Nintendo President Shuntaro Furukawa apparently has been given a master class in corpo speak. So during the investor call, he was talking about the high price point for the Switch 2 and everything else. And he said, "We believe in the pricing of Nintendo Switch 2 is appropriate for the gaming experience it offers. And what is most important is to provide entertaining experience that demonstrates the value to those customers. To achieve this goal, we have incorporated various features into the Nintendo Switch 2. It is true that Nintendo Switch 2 has a higher price point than our past gaming systems. We are creating various opportunities outside of our gaming system for young children to engage with Nintendo characters and game worlds, with one of the ultimate goals being that they will eventually play on our gaming systems. We are closely monitoring to what degree the price of the system might have become the barrier. So basically, if you can't afford our stuff, go enjoy our stuff somewhere else and then come back when you're not poor."
Didn't Don Matrick say something similar when the Xbox One came out?
Yeah, but they never gave him corpo speak training.
Or any training seems like,
Yeah.
yeah. How the hell? I too just wonder. Like, you watch someone high up, and I mean high up, function or attempt to function in a job, and it's like, how did you land here in the first place? Anyway, yeah, so no, I remember because it had the always online thing, and I remember him saying like, "Oh, if you can't do that, we have an Xbox 360," which the Xbox 360 is fantastic, but that's not a good thing to say about your brand new console that you're trying to sell millions of units of. I know we spoke about Nintendo last week, and we keep doing so, but again, it's kind of just become for me a situation that. To me, it doesn't matter if you keep messing up, but it doesn't matter to me personally anymore because my personal stakes in Nintendo, at least current Nintendo, aren't there anymore. And that died a nicer death than it could have because it became a situation of, okay, I don't hate the library, but I'm not interested in it anymore. And then the Switch 2 came out, and it's like, nah, this is not a way to bring me back in per se, because of the reasons I've discussed before, and then there was just all this like other stuff going on. But because even from people I've seen videos of or seen tweets of and stuff who are more Nintendo enthusiasts or like not like corporate pay people to speak about Nintendo, but people who are more fans of Nintendo, even those have been kind of okay, enjoyed the Switch. It's good and this and that, but they've not seemed like enthused or impressed with it because they've noticed sort of too many particular things about it. One thing I saw pointed out was just again the lack of like new launch titles, which seems very very thin. So, but yeah, because if I probably was gonna get one of the handhelds. It would either be the I've forgotten the name again, PlayStation's current one, whatever that one's called. It would either be that
PlayStation
or
Portable.
Portal, yeah, that's it, thank you. It would either be that, which again would be reliant on internet connection, but whatever. Or the Xbox Ally, which I think looks very good. So, but that would be more dependent on the rare times that I'm on Game Pass and things like that, which is not as often. So, but wouldn't pick a Switch 2 and I wouldn't pick any of the others. Maybe a Steam Deck, but then I'm not like, I don't have any investment in Steam's library, so that would be like a new thing to me. So, anyway, that's what I would do. But then if you say to me, okay, can I pick any piece of hardware that I want to get? Of course, I want to get a PlayStation VR 2. So, which is starting to annoy me a bit more because I'm starting to see more games popping up that are like available for rental and things like that, and I just don't have the unit yet. So, anyway, what do you think of this Nintendo thing?
I think again, it's somebody taught him how to speak corporate jargon to get your point across without openly insulting somebody.
Yeah, because even things like, footballers have to have media training and when they're talking in interviews and things, and it's very important. Very important that you know how to speak to people in important situations. So, all right, what else do you want to talk about?
Next up, we finally have a statement from Romero Games. Romero, obviously the great grandfather of first person shooters, created Doom, created Wolfenstein, founder of id Software, got hit with the layoffs at Microsoft, and the studio, while not technically closed, is pretty much a ghost town. But John Romero did officially make an announcement. English hard, debunking the rumors about Romero Games shutting down by confirming that the studio was not closed and that those responsible were doing, quote, everything in our power to avoid that fate. Reassuring fans, the statement also shared that those in charge were very recently on site to talk about the next steps with the team. However, Romero Games didn't hit at what appears to be a potential restructuring in the new future, underlining the need to reassess the entire staffing. So this falls into the massive layoffs that Microsoft has been done yesterday, last week or so. So it's just one of those things that, saying, John Romero, we don't need your services anymore would be kind of like going to take any legend footballer and saying, now we don't want your experience.
It's very valuable sometimes. I was gonna say it's a hell of a CV that you read out for that person, so good stuff there. But yeah, it was like I had a bit of a like second hand reaction myself, if that makes any sense, because I read it, we did the podcast, all that sort of stuff. Obviously, we talked about other things, and it wasn't until because we recorded on the same day last week. It wasn't until maybe like Friday, maybe Monday, and for some reason, I mean, there's a lot of things that pop up in my head during the day because that's how my brain unfortunately works. Tries to think about too many different things at the same time. And I was like, why didn't I have more of a, and I don't know if I was like blaming myself or something, but I was like, why didn't I have more of a reaction to that? And I guess I had the reaction that I had, but yeah, it was I don't know, it was an interesting one, but because it was to me when I read things like A Perfect Dark is cancelled, and I was like, oh, I remember that being shown and it looking, from what I remember, kind of promising. Again, maybe you're talking 3, 4 years ago. I can't even remember. So it just felt like a bit of a. It seemed like at the time when we was reading things like 9,000 employees, this studio shut down, this game's cancelled. It felt very dramatic at the time, but even reflecting on it, what, a week later, it's kind of. It feels like it's quiet and down almost. Which is so sometimes the world reacts weirdly to certain news, I suppose. So, and I had like again a secondhand experience of feeling like I reacted or like underreacted or reacted weirdly to it. But it is what it is, I suppose. Anyway, what do you think of this?
I think it's good that he's getting information out there in that his studio is not completely shut down. And it's just one of those things we'll have to wait and see and go from there.
Yeah, see what comes up from that next. All right, what else have we got?
Well, in from the category of this is why I hate everybody and long for the asteroid, something that was not on mine or basically anybody's bingo card this year was Helldivers 2 coming to Xbox. So they released a statement, Super Earth needs you, we're expanding democracy, all the fun hyperbolic setting that is that game. And
Very dramatic.
holy crap, the amount of unhinge that came from the Sony fanboys is so insane. I mean, I'm reading some of this and I'm just, I swear to you, I don't mean this as a pejorative, but get some fucking therapy. Because there's a lot of things that I don't like in this world, but nothing has made me as mad as what these people are mad about. And I'm not going to give their ex or Blue Sky account names because I don't want them getting any more traction. So we have, I'll do players. Player number one, let PlayStation know that we don't want or like Helldivers or any of our games being ported to Xbox. Send a loud and clear message, unlike the cucks on Xbox. Player number two, we may not be able to stop the release, but Helldivers 2 has team killing. We will have to do our part and ruin Xbox players' experience on day one. Use the high-end stratagems on your team, waste lives, ruin extractions. We got this. And then unironically posts a GIF from the game saying, Super Earth needs you. And that's like at a two. It goes way, way higher than that. Let me get some of the rest of them here. There's this one thread that I'm trying to find here real quick. Where is it? Where is it? All right, this thing. I'm reading it from a video. So somebody, and I will give this person's name because they're actually sane. So Twitter user Light Shadow Onyx says, "Imagine being this butthurt that you do not want more people to play a game that's a live service game." And then player number three replies to that tweet and says, "We don't want you second-class games on our game." Like, are you fucking kidding me? So they didn't buy the plastic box that you bought, so that means you're second-class citizens. And then player number four says, "You have to not be pussies and not disable crossplay like you bitches like to do." To which player number three from the previous tweet replies, "I won't be able to punish you X clowns if I turn off crossplay." And it gets worse and worse and worse. Player five says, "Wow, you're pathetic. Imagine hating a platform so much that you have to try to be a see you next Tuesday. You want to do that to people? Fine. But if I at all see your sorry ass doing it, I'll be doing it right back and dragging your ass through the mud and make sure everybody knows you're a bitch." And player three responds to that saying, the lives will be wasted while we fight, so it's fine for me." We got some more from the same player three. And Japan Loves Gaming tweets out, "You do realize that you can get reported for that." And then player number three replies, "Multiple accounts allow for easy ban circumventing, which is a TOS violation." And they're just admitting that they're willing to do that over this damn game. Light Shadow X comes back into the chat and says, "We do not want traitors to game on our games." Player three responds, "Xbox owners are the real traitors to gaming." To which Light Shadow Onyx replies, "No, you fanboys are the true traitors to gaming. You only care about a fictional console war and not the actual game." And, eventually the hate spewing dies down, but the point still gets across. It's like, I'm not the biggest fan of console exclusives, but I understand the point. It's to sell consoles. But like we've been talking about for the last year, we've gone past the point of console exclusives because the hardware is all basically the same now. We can cross-platform. There's no reason game-wise much anymore. I mean, it's still there, but not much anymore to be console exclusive. And if Helldivers 2 has a really good sales day, which I think is really going to be dependent on whether or not they make you try to sign in to a PlayStation account like they did with the PC games, that's going to be the real thing. But if they don't, and they let Xbox players game, and the game sells well, I can guarantee you more Sony exclusives are going to come to Xbox because they're already coming to PC. All the Horizon games are on PC. The Spider-Man games are on PC. Now, they're not in the best of shape, and they're not optimized because Sony doesn't know how to optimize for crap. But they're there. And once you put them on the PC, that's when the modders get at it and fix Sony's crap, and then they make it better.
What do you mean by the PSN account with an Xbox game? How would that? I know what you mean by the PC one because it requires you to have that. How does that work on an Xbox game though?
Because it's within the game code itself. It's like if I want to use mods for Bethesda games on my Xbox, I have to sign into my Bethesda account, which again, I'm not the biggest fan of, but I understand why they're doing it because they control the modding community. So when you mod, if you mod, you can submit your mod to Bethesda for their mod, storefront. You don't buy anything, you don't pay for anything. So, but storefront's the only real term I have to use. So you
So
sign in with your Bethesda account, and then you go to mods, and then you can scroll through the available mods, and it installs it on the console.
it would come up with a PlayStation sign-in page on while booting up a game on an
Yep.
Xbox. That's interesting. That's
I don't know that they're going to do that. I'm saying if they do that,
right. If yeah, I know what you mean.
a lot of people aren't going to buy that game.
Especially if you're in the Xbox ecosystem and you maybe don't even have a PSN account, which you wouldn't think you'd need one if you don't own a PlayStation because you're not playing PlayStation
Or
games. So,
you're in one of the 170 countries to where PlayStation accounts are illegal.
yeah, they don't have them or whatever. So,
No, I mean they're straight up illegal.
for some reason. Yeah, I just on the, unhinged part or whatever, because we were talking about before we started recording what notes we had and all that sort of thing. And I said to you, because you mentioned to me, like, oh, there were some really unhinged replies, and I said that I still go on Twitter, so I'm used to. And again, that is across the internet, but there's two specific places where that's arguably worse. Twitter's number one, easily number one, and Reddit can be a very nice place. I see some very like nice communities on Reddit, but you can come across a few Twitter-esque places on Reddit as well. But because how I have recently described this kind of thing, and you can equate this in different ways for different issues, right? Forgetting about the film itself of Snow White, right? Because there's a podcast I did when did that film come out? Like 3 months ago, something like
Who
that.
knows?
When that came out, and let's just say I noticed a bunch of stuff, and it culminated in a particular opinion, right? Which had nothing to do with the actual film itself, because I still haven't seen it, probably won't, whatever. But it wasn't about like whether the film itself was good. It was more about everything surrounding it. And one of the things I described is when, and this is just from my own, this isn't like a fact or something like that, it's just the point I landed at, is describing things like that as brain rot. And how I would specifically describe that is, you hate, now it doesn't have to be a person, in this case it could just be a game on a platform, so something much more toned down. Like hating a game being on a platform is nowhere near as bad as hating a person for being a certain type of person. Those are two totally different things, but the brain rot still works kind of the same way, which is you're so determined to hate a thing or a person that, and you've been so brainwashed by that. And again, in the console war space, the way that the brainwashing would work would be totally different because it's a totally different thing, and you are talking about an object instead of a person. Because of whatever has happened to you in your life, or whatever journey you've been on in your life, or however it is that you have ended up in that situation, what's essentially happened to you? And again, this is just my description. I haven't like had someone verify this, or not that it needs that. It's just what I think of the scenario. Your brain has become so rotten with the fact that this thing, no matter what information you're given, or what somebody else tells you, or what research has done for you and told to you, no matter what happens in that area, again, maybe because of you or because of the way your brain has ended up working, it's so rotten that you cannot and will not see past what has happened to you. And I don't think it works as extremely in this scenario, because again, this is just a video game. As much as people might love Helldivers and that sort of thing, again, it is a video game, and you're hitting a video game rather than a person. They might be, name calling somebody else in a conversation or something and calling them dumb or whatever, but that's nowhere near as serious as, talking about an actual person. But to me, the function still works the same, is you're so determined, for whatever reason you have, to hate the fact that a video game has come out on a console. You hate that so much that you'll do whatever it is that you'll feel that you'll do. And no matter how somebody would say, like, oh, it came to the console for this reason, and it might be good for this reason, or you might meet other people, they don't care about any of that. They don't care about any of that. Their brain will not let them do that. Anyway, that's just the way that I kind of see that sort of thing. And that can work very, very differently contextually with different things, depending on the situation. So, but that's how I kind of describe what happens to some of these people. And I know you said kind of it sounded like silly or whatever, but you're right in the fact that some of these people do really kind of need to just sit down and just talk to somebody. Sometimes the only unfortunate thing with that is, even if you do take someone who's got, let's say, bad brain rot, just to use that example, I still do think with some people who are too far gone, that if you sat down with a professional and they could dig into your brain and, like, and do all their own analyzing, well, they could come to their own conclusion, no matter what that. Let's say it's a doctor or whatever it is, no matter what that person says to that other person, it's just not going to go in. It's like, imagine food that's gone off and gotten rotten. It's not coming back. You're not going to reverse the, you're not going to unrot food, or like, and I'm talking about, a piece of food that's just too far gone. It's not coming back. It's done. It's over. Or let's say, what's an object that can be severely burnt that won't come back? Food's another example. Let's say you completely and utterly burn a piece of toast, right? You're not ever gonna get, as much as you could get on that piece of toast and get a knife and, like, maybe scrape some stuff off. I'm talking about, like, proper full on, like, it's burnt to a crisp. You're not undoing that. That's just how I think that works. But if you, again, have the therapy thing example with somebody who is, I would say, receiving, that their brain is rotting, but it's not rotten. You could sit down with someone like that and then maybe get through to them if the right thing happens. But then it's also just a case also of, like, okay, don't just look at who they are now. Look at, like, who they were as a child. How did this thing happen to them? Because they landed there in some way, shape, or form. And it might not have even entirely been their fault. So, anyway, I know I said quite a lot on that, but that's just how I kind of see the issue. But yeah, Helldivers on Xbox is very interesting. And again, it gives Xbox players the chance to play the game. And if you put, I assume, crossplay would work, then you get more people able to play with you, which apparently, according to these people, makes them traitors and that they need to die, or an equivalent of that anyway. So,
In game dev.
in game, although some people might think of the more extreme example, but the idea that you would, because I don't know if you can turn friendly fire on and off. I don't know what the function of that is, but let's say
No,
you
there is
can't.
no friendly fire off. It's meant to be you're in the world. If you
Right.
get
Okay.
out of control,
Yeah.
that's on you.
Okay. But the idea that you would, like, let's say there's three PlayStation people and they're one Xbox person, and one of the PlayStation people goes, like, no, don't want you here, and they'll just deliberately ruin the whole thing. It's just really awful. So,
I have seen that before.
yeah.
Diablo 2, when I first started doing gaming and online gaming, I would jump into like a multiplayer match, and like every fifth one, they just start team killing me like mad. And that's why I quit doing online games until World of Warcraft came out, and you had to intentionally flag yourself as player versus player. You could actually enjoy the content without somebody being a tool.
There you go. Unfortunately, people like to ruin things. So, but hopefully, everybody who plays Helldivers 2 on Xbox has a good time. Hopefully. So, we shall see. Hopefully, you don't come across any of these people. So, but hopefully, the reporting system works. I assume it does. It doesn't work on Modern Warfare 2. It's practically useless at this point. But this is a newer game which is actually being supported. So, hopefully, the reporting system does work. Anyway, as we move on from that, what else do you want to talk about?
Well, to end on a better note, then there apparently is multiple Fallout projects currently in the works at Bethesda, according to a games journalist on a podcast, suggesting that we, the fans of the Fallout series, are going to get spoiled in the next few years. This comes from the Friends Per Second podcast on YouTube,
I'm familiar with that, yeah.
Video Game Chronicle journalist Jordan Miller suggested that several Fallout projects were in development at de various stages. On the topic of Microsoft layouts and Perfect Dark cancellation, Midler chimed in that the company was leaning heavily into the Fallout franchise. Quote, Fallout is the big one. There are multiple Fallout projects in development, including, as far as I'm aware, that one that I'm sure you're all wanting. It's not fair enough, far enough along to say anything like you're going to be playing this game soon. I'm assuming he's talking about Fallout 5. But yeah, I mean, it's not a thing. We all know, Bethesda's desperate for a win. I mean, they got a mini win with the Oblivion remake, and but after Redfall failed, and I won't call Starfield a failure, but it's not the long-term game I know they were hoping it would be. And there's a big push for Fallout 3 remastered, Fallout New Vegas remastered, Fallout New Vegas 2. Those three could easily be in the pipeline and would easily be a big win for Bethesda. Even though Fallout New Vegas 2 is technically not Bethesda, so.
I say make all those games. Remaster 3, 4, New Vegas, do New Vegas 2, whatever, and do 4. I've been kind of wondering for a while because we've had a good chunk of since Fallout 4 came out, which was that last gen? I think it was. Like where 5 has gone to. Not that I thought it wasn't happening, I just thought okay, it's probably been cooking, as they say, in the background. We just haven't heard anything yet. So, yeah, been wondering where that's been at for a while because that makes kind of the most sense. Obviously, you'll probably get more seasons of the show, probably many seasons of the show, and probably some other stuff. But yeah, when I'm sitting here thinking about Bethesda's IP, and yeah, it's probably the most popular, probably the most well known. It's had a successful TV spin-off as well. Well, not TV spin-off, but a TV adaptation, which went down very well. I know me, you, and David liked it to different degrees, but we all liked it. And probably gonna get a obviously a season two and probably three of those. Probably even more than three seasons if assuming it continues going well and nothing goes wrong. So that should go well. But yeah, the next probably big thing is probably Fallout 5, which I imagine is still probably a few years away, but hopefully that's good when that eventually gets here. So, but yeah, you're the kind of bigger Fallout fan than me, so what do you make of Fallout's future?
Yeah, I definitely could see, like I said, Fallout 3 remastered, New Vegas remastered. Even though I'm not the biggest fan of New Vegas, I think there's too many factions and too many storylines. I'd actually have to check the achievement list, but I think there's somewhere between five and nine different endings to the game, for faction-based endings. And that's just one of those things that, yeah, three, two, three, great. Four, five, nine is just kind of silly.
Yeah. I don't mind when games have like different endings and stuff. I think that's quite cool. I know nine is still quite a lot, but it's kind of interesting. So yeah, we'll see what happens when it happens. But I've yeah, if Microsoft were to ask me, for example, I'd say yeah, remaster 3, 4, do all the New Vegas stuff, and eventually get to a 5 because that makes sense to me. So.
Really don't even think you would need to remaster 4. It could be updated with just mods.
Yeah, we shall see. All right, what else do you want to talk about today?
That's all I got.
All right. Well, yeah, because you said about ending on a good note, which we've just done. Let's move on to some feedback and emails. If you would like to write into the show, let us know what you're playing. Tell us what you think of what you're playing. Hopefully, you enjoy what you're playing. Yeah, what you think of all the news we've talked about here, or anything else we haven't talked about that you'd want to bring up. Matthew@entertainmenttalk.org. Social media is eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. Josh writes in and says, decent guesses for the new bot, so he's talking about Astrobot. What about if some more Sega games are added, such as Sonic? How about Pac-Man or Batman from the Arkham games? All of them are potential options. Be curious to see what Sonic would look like as an Astrobot character. Because you do have some slightly different ones, like the Crash Bandicoot one. It's an Astro, obviously they're all Astrobots, but it's got like the body thing on it, and then it has the actual mask. Because if you go up to it in the crash site, and obviously you can dance with it, which is really, really lovely. But because you hit all of them, and they all have their own particular animations, but you hit Crash, and the mask comes off, and then the Astro like panics and pulls the mask back on. I think they had it like that in Astro's Playroom as well. But I guess because of like his nose and things like that, they just couldn't quite figure out how to integrate it with the face. But yeah, be curious to see what Sonic would look like as an Astrobot. I should probably know the answer to it. Is Pac-Man on PlayStation? Because I see, because they do have some third party, like you've got some Ubisoft third party games, but so it's not just strictly
Yeah, I
exclusives.
mean there's like Pac-Man World Tour, Pac-Man 25th Anniversary Edition. They're not going to be big games. They're going to be buried deep in the storefront unless they put them up front, prominently for an anniversary or a sale or whatever.
I think the game, I think the rule is just as long as the game's been on PlayStation. So, yeah, what would Pac-Man look like as a Astrobot? You could just do the mouth
Probably just
with,
Astrobot that's yellow.
yeah, with a little face chomping thing, and then obviously the legs there. So, it's doable, I suppose. Batman, you could probably do, because you do have the newer ones, so I don't want to spoil them. Some superheroes that are in the game, so you could possibly add those. I know that's different because that's Rocksteady and it's third party, but again, they've had some third party bots in there. But like I said last week, unless these are the last five, because it starts this week, I think from yeah the 11th, I think it's the 11th. They're adding the five new levels, which is five new bots. We know one of them is Atsu from Ghost of Yote, which by the way we're getting a state of play for tomorrow. So because that comes out in like I think it's October or something. You're gonna get her, and then. Well, probably four more, and I don't think there's any. You know, like last time when they did. I was just trying to remember actually, because I remember when, with one of the sets, they put out five levels but two bots each. But I remember that's when they had the Helldivers one. So, because I think with the newer levels they did one bot per level. So I don't think you're gonna get 10. You might get, although who knows what might happen. I think the reason they did that was so that, okay, five new bots. Sorry, five new levels, but you can get 10 bots, so it's not just four Helldivers and one character, it's six more characters, because you did the four individual Helldivers, which I still think, by the way, for the ones that they had paired for, so when you've got the Mudokons, when you've got There's like eight different apes from the Ape Escape thing, and then there's the four Helldivers. I think that should have just been one bot count before, because those are all groups. Like one bot count for all those, so it would have taken the number down a bit. But anyway, yeah, they could have done that. But yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anybody I haven't thought of. But then that island is pretty packed, and most of the big major PlayStation ones, even if they're not owned by PlayStation now, so like Metal Gear or something, those are basically, again, apart from the gaping hole of the Square Enix ones, which I don't think they're going to be in this game because the big missing ones are Final Fantasy VII characters. I can't think of any major PlayStation stuff that isn't in there. So we'll have to see. But yeah, could be, one of them three could be in there, although, because you wouldn't add Jade from Intergalactic yet, because the game's 2 years away or so. I always thought Wolverine would make sense, but again, Wolverine's not out on PlayStation yet because it's still in development. I know Death Stranding 2 just came out, but Sam's already there. Unless they added some Death Stranding 2 characters, I know there's like a bunch of new cast. They could add those, but we shall see. We shall see what happens for. I think what will probably happen is this week's bot will probably be Atsu, plus because of the state of play, and you see how all that clicks together. In fact, I wonder if they lined all that up deliberately of like, hey, here's new Ghost of Yote gameplay. Oh, here's the Astro bot in the game probably. So, we shall see. Yeah, what do you think of those three characters possibly being in there?
Definitely a possibility. I mean, they're all potentials. We'll just have to wait and see when they come out.
Yeah. So, but yeah, when I finish this week's level, I'm assuming it will be Atsu, and then we'll guess the other four. Reese says, first time, long time, welcome. I've had a PS4 since launch day, and not yet felt the need for a PS5. Do you think I'll eventually need one? A lot of the games I've played have had cross-gen versions anyway. I think if you do hold out long enough, because you'll have things like Wolverine probably won't be on PS4. Death Stranding 2, I don't think, is on PS4. The first one obviously was. Ghost of Yote, I don't reckon will be on PS4. I know you had a few, which was like the two. Sorry, the second. Ragnarok, God of War Ragnarok, that was cross-gen. The second Horizon, I'm pretty sure, was cross-gen. Was Spider-Man 2 on PS4? I don't think it was. But that was the year after, I think. I think it's from in and around like 2023. From about Spider-Man 2 onwards, that you didn't get as many of those new games being on PS4. But there's still a few of those hanging around. I do think if you, because we don't know yet, like, okay, there's a lot of rumors about 2027 for PS6. But then you've still got like multiple other PS5 games to come out. I think if you hold out long enough and you continue playing PS4 only games, which you've done so for a while anyway, and when you, if you feel the need to get a PS6, all those PS5 games that are still yet to come out will probably, I wouldn't imagine they would at least not be backwards compatible. Hopefully they've moved past that issue, because you have the backwards compatible PS4 games. So your PS5 games will probably at least be backwards compatible with 6. So I guess if you hold out long enough, although you could do a thing where, depending on how much cross-gen stuff they do for 5 and 6, if when the 6 comes out and you go, oh, here's a bunch of, 5 or 6, 7 years worth of PS5 games you never played, and the PS5 base would be cheaper, you could then jump in that as a cheaper option and then play some PS5 only games. But yeah, that's been one of, I still see a lot of comments on, like, like game release videos, like this week on PlayStation and stuff like that, where there's been a lot of comments this gen, and I do agree with them in general that this has been a weird gen in terms of a lot of live service stuff, a lot of which has fallen flat on its face. And while the remakes and remasters that we've had have been very, very good, I mean, Dead Space, for example, And you know, a lot of people really enjoying the sort of Resident Evil remakes and things like that. While those have been really, really, really good, it's been a bit softer in terms of, okay, could we sit here and name like 5 to 10 PS5 only games that like you really should play right now? I don't know. I don't know that I could name, maybe I could name 10, but not off the top of my head. But is there enough of those? So like the Ratchet and Clanks, the Returnals, things like, because if you've still got your older consoles, you don't need the new remakes, remasters if you've still got access to those older games. And when it comes to things like the two God of War games, you know, things like The Last of Us, stuff like that, the Uncharted games, what's it called? What did I say? The two Horizon games. You can play all those on PS4. You can play all those on PS4. Yeah. So like the as they what do they what do they call those? The killer apps or something?
Yeah, killer apps.
Yeah, like how many of those actually is there on PS5? Because I'm not, even as somebody who regularly uses the console, I'm not really sure. So, it's because I don't think it's been a bad gen. It's just been a weirdly a weird directional one. Anyway, what do you kind of think of all that?
Well, this is kind of more personal to me and how I live my life. And I know I've talked about this on the podcast a couple of times. There's the mindset. It's like if you see people that are always broke because they're always spending all their money, is they have an abundance mindset when it comes to money. They think it'll never stop coming in. That's why 75% of pro athletes, all regardless of what country and what sport, once they retire, they're literal bankrupt in 5 years because they spent how many years making how much money per year, and then that stops, but then they don't stop spending like they're getting that money. So, and then you get the other people that have a scarcity mindset, to where they get whatever it is, but they don't want to spend it because they remember a time without it. A perfect example of this is Shaquille O'Neal, professional ball player, crazy rich, made a ton of money in playing professional basketball. And all his kids have a requirement to where if they want access to their inheritance, they have to get 2 college degrees.
Damn. Yeah.
So he's making sure, and this was something that I heard on an investment podcast. He said, guy won the lottery for like $80 million. And he's like, we haven't told our kids yet because we don't want them to turn into waiters, as in waiting for us to die. And
Right, yeah,
that's also another mindset. And so when it comes to the PS5, you think to yourself, okay, what mindset am I in? Do I want this because I want the latest, greatest, and neatest? Do I need this because my machine is failing, or is there another factor? It's like when I got the Series X, it was 3 factors. One, they had just gotten through the COVID shortages and they're regularly stocked. Two, I wanted the games that I play to load faster, and the continue now, the quick replay is a huge
I
factor in
love quick
that.
resume. That's really, it's really cool.
Yeah, the quick resume. And then three, the 1S that I had was starting to run the games a little slower. Now, the 1S still works. I use it as a stream box. So, like Amazon Prime videos, I still have my Discovery Plus subscription, YouTube videos, things like that. Works perfect for that. It's all I need it to do. I don't need it to, chug itself to death playing, Death Stranding or whatever. I play my videos on it. But those were the three things that put me in the mindset of why I spent the $500 to buy the Xbox. And then so just ask yourself, is there a game that I can't play on the 4 that's only on the 5? Do I want to play that game so bad that I'm going to drop $500 just to drop another 60, 70, 80 or whatever it is for that game? And then what games am I going to leave behind? Because, not throwing shade, but let's face it, PlayStation sucks at backwards compatibility. At least in terms of when you compare it to Microsoft, to where I can still play.
From three
I can go
backwards,
to,
yeah.
yeah, I can go to the charity shops, as you guys call them, find an old Xbox, original Xbox game, and odds are it'll work. I can pop it in my Series X, and odds are it will work. And it's actually, some of those games are actually upscaled to where they're not obviously Series X level graphics, but they bump them up to 360 level, which is like techno magic almost, basically, at this point. But yeah, just run those questions through your head. And I do that with everything. Like in 2006, I got a car, and it was only because the car I had 150,000 miles on it. It ran fine, but it was to that point to where any repairs I did on it was definitely going to be more than what the car would be worth resale. So I got a car in 2006, 2011 rather, but it was a 2006 car. But I got that car because it only had 19,000 miles on it, which for a 5-year-old car, that's insanely low. It still had the original factory tires on it. That's how little it got driven. And I had that car from 2011 to 2021. And the only reason why I don't have that car now is because I got absolutely obliterated by a truck. It's like it literally blew out the back window. But that car was a tank, and I loved it. It's like I'm doing 50 miles an hour, the truck's doing 60 miles an hour, and carrying 12,000 pounds, and it thumps me, completely crushes the trunk, and blows out the back window, and I don't even realize I'm in an accident until like 35 seconds into it, because I'm trying to figure out what the hell is that noise. Oh, that's the wind. Why am I hearing the wind? Oh, I don't have a back window.
Damn.
And so I pull off to the side. And ironically enough, the truck took more damage because the truck had a higher elevation. So it actually went over the bumper, snapped off a piece of the grill, and punctured the radiator.
Damn.
So, I was able to drive my car off to a parking lot and let the insurance company tow it off. And he had to get towed from a wrecker because he couldn't drive his car.
There you go. Do what Robert said as well. Kind of, depending on how much you could find one for, if you feel like you want one, again, check the list of games and stuff. And I'm specifically talking about PS5 only games, which aren't remakes or remasters that you can, find that aren't on PS4 or whatever. That you really want to play. But if you haven't found those by now, because we are kind of getting near towards it. I mean, PlayStation 6 ain't coming out probably next year or maybe the year after. But then, okay, what will the PS6 launch with? We don't know yet. So it's up to your own judgment. But yeah, it's cool that you've kept your PlayStation and all that and it's lasted all this time. That's very cool. And lastly, Harrison writes in and says, what do you think of the extreme differences in those who either give something a 0 or a 1 out of 10? Sorry, a 0 or 10 out of 10. Sorry, let me say that again. Give something a 0 or 1. Sorry, 0 or 10 out of 10, but can't say a game is great, not great, or great. So somebody who just either sees something as a 0 or a 10 out of 10. There are a few of those, like there's kind of, I don't know, they feel like their brain has to just lean one way or the other and they can't find the middle. That's kind of one of the reasons why when I first had the don't skip and skip ratings, it's like, well, that's just one or the other. That's not, I don't know what all listeners felt of that, but I personally myself got kind of bored of just, hey, one or the other and then pick a number. Now it's kind of, there's six different ones, three are on the good side, three are on kind of the not so great side. So that's just something I I like to do, and find a scale to kind of land on and stuff. But I don't know. Everyone analyzes things the way that they do, but it's, I almost feel like it's a shame when someone can't kind of see a
Get out of
seven,
their own bubble.
see a 7 or an 8 out of 10, and go, okay, this thing wasn't amazing, it wasn't phenomenal, it wasn't fantastic, but you really enjoyed it, you had a great time, and that's just not enough for some people. It's like with Ironheart's quite a good example. Landed on a must see because that's kind of where I felt like I was at, but I gave it a 7. And I said, okay, there's a myriad of issues that I can see here, most of which, again, I don't think is to do with what the thing is. I think it was just kind of, okay, if you edit out a bunch of stuff that kind of doesn't need to be in here, this could be a much, much better show just from doing that, and not even necessarily adding things, which is interesting because it was only a 6-episode season, but even for the time you spend in there, I didn't feel like they needed all of what they actually had. But then that stuff is still in there, and it kind of pulls things down a little bit. But then there's some stuff in there that I really, really enjoyed, and I ended up enjoying it more than I, enjoying it more than I didn't. But still recognizing, okay, there's issues with this thing, but the issues don't pull it down to a 0. And when I look at the things that are great, it doesn't pull it all the way up to a 10. So yeah, it does make me wonder how, and again, I know there's different staff and things like that, but how often IGN does land on a 7, so much so that they've become a meme for doing that. But how so many different people at that company see and consume so many different things, and you're talking different mediums as well, like games, shows, and films. And I wonder if, because I don't know, I mean, they've probably done what, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of reviews at this point, because they've been around for ages. How many, what percentage of their reviews have landed on a 7? Because it's probably more than 50%, right? Yeah, and it's, I don't know how that happens so often. So
Well, if I was going to give it a numerical rating, I haven't watched the whole thing because I won't, but I did watch the first episode because I wanted to see the first episode.
Ironheart, you mean?
I would have given it 3 out of 10, and that has nothing to do with the character or the setting. That is 100% how bad the writing is in terms of. Okay, this is a little bit spoilery, not much because it is the first episode. So we got Riri Williams back at MIT on a full scholarship. And she's already inventing like amazing tech. It's like she's got a partial Iron Man suit going. She's got that, bubble shield going. And does she, license all this tech out and make billions? No, she helps her fellow students cheat on tests, which is a violation, and she gets kicked out of the university, blames everybody else but herself. Does she then take her tech and license it or sell it, for a bunch of money? Nope. She joins a gang because why make billions when you can make thousands? And from what I've seen from your views, because I at this point I don't care about spoiling it or not. So I've been watching spoiler reviews. That concept of let's not do the smart thing, the wise thing, or the this makes so much sense thing. Let's do the stupidest thing possible for literally no reason other than, cut your nose to spite your face.
Yeah.
And I just
Yeah.
but after that first episode, I'm like, that motivation makes zero sense. The mindset, either you have a massive traumatic brain injury and you honestly don't know what you're doing, or you're so spiteful that you'll just throw away every opportunity given to you just so you can, I don't even know what she's trying to do with that.
Yeah, no, I get you. I understand what you mean. So it's interesting how there is writing in there like that, and then there's like this really, I won't spoil the context of it, but there's like a really nice little dance scene moment with a certain, with between two characters, and I'm like, there's some good bit of heart there, but it's kind of okay, how come you've got two different quality pieces in there. I don't know, it's a curious thing. So, but again, I couldn't, like, if you're saying to me, okay, you've got to either rate that series a 0 or a 10, so, well, I guess I'd have to give it a 10 then, because
Yeah, I would have given it a zero.
that's closer to 10's closer to 7 than 0, I guess. So,
Yeah.
yeah, but I don't really know how people's brains work that way of, I'm gonna watch this thing and my brain's gonna tell me it's either a 0 or a 10, because this is just completely polar opposite things. Like, a 0 must be sort of like just completely unwatchable, unedited, or something like that, and then a 10 is sort of, one of the best films of the year or whatever. But it is what it is. Anyway, that's the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see what gets talked about next week. I imagine we'll do some kind of Ghost of Yote breakdown. I'll at least be watching the thing tomorrow. I think it's like 20 minutes of gameplay, or it's something like that. So we'll see what they tell us about the game, and we'll talk about that, and then whatever else happens in the world of games next week. Who knows? Maybe I'll finish South of Midnight by then. I don't know. I don't know how much longer it will take me, and I'll bring you all another social media review, as I've liked to do. So I want to do more of those, but I can only finish so many games at one time, I suppose.
Yep.
So those have been fun to do. All right, we'll see where we're at with everything next week. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we are doing on entertainmenttalk.org on podcast platforms. Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, main night podcast. The next thing I plan on doing, yep, is James Gunn's, I almost said Suicide Squad. Nope, that was years ago. I don't know why my brain went there. James Gunn's Superman, totally different thing. And I'll see what that's like. Because I don't have anything planned tomorrow or Friday unless some news or something happens or my brain randomly brainstorms something. So we'll see. Anyway, check out that when that comes up, and all the other film reviews I've done recently and everything else, by listening to more podcasts, supporting those. Word of mouth, social media. If someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad free podcast review options. Look for those as well if you'd like to. TV and film news. Geek Town Radio is on hiatus at the moment. That'll be back at some point on Tuesdays. But you can still check out news posts for TV and film news on geektown.co.uk. You can also find us on YouTube as well. Entertainment Talk Plays for all those bits and pieces and gameplay stuff and whatever else. I would stream South of Midnight on YouTube, but I actually can't do that from the Xbox, which I find really weird. I know I
I
can.
thought there was a way to stream it
You can't through YouTube. You can only do. I think the
through Twitch.
Streamlabs option used to be there, but then it says Twitch, and I don't want to muck about with doing that with Twitch and streaming on a different thing. So, anyway, maybe for the next game. Anyway, thank you all very much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.